is 9 a.m. or thereabouts, maybe a little bit after, on Wednesday, January 30th, 2013. You're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
And I'm Elizabeth Gordon. And we've got a great show lined up for you today.
Do we? We always do.
I'm not sure.
We're not sure today.
We'll see what happens.
That's right. In the studio with us right now is Mohamed Elsawa, who is a small business consultant. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're expecting maybe one or two more guests to wander in as the hour progresses. We'll see what happens.
Yep, that's the plan.
That's how we roll here.
In the meantime, I think you've got some news updates for us, Dana.
I do, but I have other things to talk about.
Please proceed.
I have other things to complain about. You know me and my complaints. First of all, last week when I was here, I made a bold statement, Elizabeth. I said, we're going to do a list every show, a top 10 or a top 20.
You did commit to that.
Yeah. And then today, when I go this morning, exhausted, coming in from a late flight last night, I start digging around for news stories and I can't find a list.
Uh-oh.
It's because I committed to it. If I had not committed to it, there would be lists coming out my ears.
Weren't the accountability coaches there that week?
Yes. And now I'm trying to be, I can't even hold myself accountable for something stupid like that.
Oh, well, life goes on.
I know.
There are other important items in the headlines.
There are. Here's another one, though. I just want to complain. I don't know why, but this morning I feel like complaining. Mohamed, if you want to complain, you feel free to jump in. You seem like you're a nice guy, not really a complaining type.
Well, thank you. I'm not going to complain today.
Okay. Well, that's
no complaints.
All right. I'll do it then.
So far.
So I have something in my eye right now, and this is what I'm going to complain about. Do you know that feeling when you have something in your eye and it's like really uncomfortable and it's driving you crazy and you really want to like dig around in there and try and get it out?
Yeah, that's not the recommended procedure.
The digging around? No, not so much. But I was just going to, here's my complaint.
Leave your picks hot.
If you're a contact lens wearer, it's like 17 times worse because now you have something in there and it's possibly stuck under the contact or on the contact.
Definitely. It's a much more complex situation.
Right. Now add to that that you're a woman and you're wearing mascara.
Right.
Doomed.
Oh, perilous.
You're doomed. That's where I'm at right now. So if I'm a little bit crotchety this morning between the getting in late last night and the something in my eye.
We appreciate you keeping it together. Dana, considering all of these unsurmountable obstacles facing you.
But I was talking about something, and I love when people do this. I think this was last week. I was talking about something completely stupid like that, and somebody just said, first world problems. I was like, yeah, it's true. You don't hear people in the third world complaining about having something in their eye.
Right. Seriously.
You know, whatever. They're like, really, woman? You have something in your eye? Could you please get a life? Like, I'm starving. My children are diseased. I mean, you know, come on. All right. Let's move on, shall we? All right. So I do have some interesting headlines today, some more chat-worthy than others. So I'll start with the least chat-worthy first and just mention that Zoo Atlanta is hosting a job fair today, I believe. And it's this morning. It's already started, but it goes till 1 p.m. if you want to get over there. I know that the job market is still tough. And so, you know, it could be fun to work at the zoo.
Hey, coming off a life of pie, there might be some
real
zoo
interest.
Enthusiasts.
I think... If you haven't thought about it, it could be fun. And there's some interesting positions. I mean, there's some regular sort of line positions.
Like picking up animal poop, that would be the one I wouldn't be applying for.
Those are not on here. They're looking for cashiers, admission staff, rides attendants, overnight programs instructors. So that's kind of a cool one. Exhibit interpreters, membership sales associates, event coordinator, and volunteer assistant. So there's some kind of cool ones.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you haven't thought about it, head on over to the zoo today.
Maybe. Did he have a wrestling with the tigers?
No, that is not on here.
Okay.
But riding the elephants, yes. So anyway, you might want to check that out. I just always want to mention if there's job opportunities because you and I both know how much of a struggle that can be sometimes in life. So things that are not a struggle, the Apple launching yet another iPad February 5th, the 128 gig iPad is coming out February 5th. And this is what I have to say about it. First of all, it's pricey. Prices are going to range from $799 to $929. That is high, don't you think?
Well, for an Apple device, I mean, I think Apple's found that as their prices dropped, as the, you know, the technology kind of proliferated and more MacBooks and iPads and iPhones were sold, that their margins were dipping below where it really made sense for a company of their type. So in order to continue to sustain success, they've got to keep the prices high.
I hate that. I don't like
it. On the consumer side, sure.
Well, it just feels like, here's the problem I have.
It's never an easy bite to take out of that apple.
Ah, good one. You know, I have an iPad. And first of all, I'm irritated that a brand new one is coming out. Because I just got mine, you know, 6 months ago. And it was the latest technology. And
now it's old.
Now it's old school. It's an antiquated piece of crap. The good news is no one will want to steal it. Because the newer one is the one to steal now. So there's that. But, you know, 929, that's the one with the Wi-Fi and cell phone, you know, cellular ability. So you can be connected.
Right, it's with the phone.
Yeah. But the thing is, for $9.29, I mean, you could basically buy two Windows PCs. And instead, you're just getting a tablet that isn't even fully functional. I mean, you know,
right,
as a computer. I don't know how I feel about that. I just feel like it's such a weird space. You know, this sort of...
Oh, there's so much change going on there in terms of, what you can get for your money. Who knows how cheap you'll be able to buy a Dell if Microsoft ends up acquiring them. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah.
That whole PC framework is changing.
And people are willing to spend more for Apple products because it's cool and hip and there's, you know, an incredible shopping experience and all that.
All business is like cyclical and you follow a bell curve. So the question that remains out there in the marketplace now, I think, and is becoming more and more unavoidable is when has Apple hit his peak?
Right.
Right.
And for the value that you get with the Apple computer or Apple laptop, this is how Apple are able to obtain their loyalty, is that they build a really good database of clients that they are very loyal to them.
Yeah.
So whenever they have any nice, cool, new products, the customers are ready or lined up at the doors.
That's right.
And I'm an Apple user as well, and I'm staying with them because if anything happened to my iPad, I can just take it and they will take care of it or they replace it right away. There's no
They are very good about that. Right. And it's easy. You know where to go. You know, I mean, it's true.
Most people, once they've made the switch,
stay.
They absolutely. And they're very loyal, as Mohammed's saying. And most are multiple device owners. And so the more they come up with, I mean, you probably could have a household that would have 3 or 4 iPads. So the market exists.
And Apple TV and iPhones in everyone's hand and Macs and MacBooks. And I have to say, you know, it's true. As much as I sort of raise my eyebrow at the pricing and the fact that there's a new, you know, newer, better one every 6 months, which is a little bit frustrating. I went into the Apple store the other day because I'm using my MacBook Pro to do video editing. And that's not what I bought it for when I originally bought it. I didn't think that's what I was going to be doing. Well, life has shifted and changed. And now I'm doing a lot of video editing, which takes up a lot of memory and a lot of hard drive space. So, and my MacBook Pro is, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old. And so I went in and I said, you know, can I upgrade the memory? What can I do? And I have to tell you, the guy said to me at the Genius Bar, first of all, I love that. Who wouldn't want a job where they were called a genius?
Seriously.
I think we should change the name of the show to Genius Morning Atlanta. I don't know. But, right? I mean, genius?
It's a nice name. It makes you even feel that you're talking to an intelligent customer service representative. And so it's both ways. It makes the employee of Apple feels good and as well as the customer.
Yeah.
Sometimes customer service sounds like the flunky team.
Yeah. You know? Customer service is like the losers that couldn't get any other job. Sorry, customer service people. But really, but the Genius Bar, that is like, first of all, I want to belly up to that bar. And second of all, genius. Gosh. Anyway. So I go up there and the genius at the Genius Bar tells me, like right off the bat, he says, well, we could do it for you. But what I really recommend is that you go to this particular website and buy it yourself and install it yourself. It's super easy. And it's, you know, 1/4 the price. Like we can do it for $200. Here it is online for $50. And he didn't blink an eye. It wasn't like he had to say that quietly and hush hush and whisper it to me so he wouldn't get in trouble. Clearly, they are allowed to do that. It's recommended that they do that. He was like, look, I got to tell you that if you do that, we're not supposed to support it. You know, if you install something yourself, he said, but we'll still help you. I mean,
impressive.
Yeah. And let me say that I did exactly what he said. I went to the website that he suggested. I ordered the memory and it's installed and it works great. So, you know, anyway, go Apple. With your new iPad and you're ripping everyone off for tons of money. All your geniuses. All right.
Well, hopefully it'll make the stock price go back up.
You have some stock there, Miss Elizabeth? Something you want to share with the crowd? Okay. Georgia public broadcasting producer is quitting over the, or has quit, I guess, over the hiring of the state Senate Majority Leader Chip Rogers, calling it cronyism at the expense of taxpayers and longtime employees of the public broadcasting station. So basically, the deal is that this guy, Chip Rogers, gets a job there earning $150,000 a year as an executive producer while they're laying off and firing a whole bunch of people that have been there for a really long time. I just thought I would report that because I sort of like to report a little bit about what's going on in broadcast world since we're sort of have an elbow in there. And just
it's interesting. Well, you see these media moguls overlapping the world of politics frequently.
Yeah.
And, it makes sense. You can obviously see why, but it does raise some ethical issues, especially when you're talking about GPB.
Right. You're not talking about a private station that you just happen to know have a friend over there. It's taxpayer money. I mean, the public broadcasting is supported by the public.
It's really, donor money.
Right. And it's also just sad because there are so many people that are losing their jobs in that industry in general. And certainly, as it said in the report, at that station, who've been there a long time and know the business and have served, well. And then here comes this guy who, just kind of gets a shoe in, it looks like. So to some extent, I'm not sure I would have the fortitude, if you will, to quit over something like that. But I respect the producer who did, who made a statement and made the headlines and brought it to the forefront.
Right.
Because that's a bold thing to do. I mean, they put their own kind of personal career they put their morals above their career, I guess, is what I'm getting at. So that's...
Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely an interesting story.
It's the kind of thing where your kid comes home and says, here's what's happening, Mom. Should I quit? And you're like, oh my God, no. Don't quit your job. What are you crazy?
Right.
Or your friend.
<That's really
laughs> you know?
Right.
They say, yeah, it's the right thing to do, but you don't want to lose your own income over something. So, people who take a stand, whistleblowers, that type of thing, you got to respect that.
Right. Well, maybe, is it Ashley Wilson Pendley? Will be over at the zoo today.
Oh, that's so sad.
Job.
It's very possible, though. Go, Ashley. Falcons. Should we talk Falcons?
Right. Which ones?
The LA
Falcons
or the Los Angeles?
The one that won or the one that lost?
Or the ones that lost or the ones that are moving to a different stadium? Or I know. Oh, wow. It was an exciting game.
It was a good season. So coming off a exciting season like that, this is an interesting debate that's come up now.
Right. Now all of a sudden people are interested and they have value, right?
Right. Well, there's this whole talk of the new stadium, obviously.
Right.
And now it's not been – like people aren't just throwing money out the window at this new stadium idea. So I guess in looking for, who's really most interested in the Falcons these days, the possibility has come up to move to L.A.
Do you think it'll happen? I don't think it'll happen.
I think
it's a PR ploy.
Yeah.
Yeah, to just make people even more
blank,
right? To get
everyone to say, let's build a new stadium,
right? And hey, Atlanta, you want your team to stay here? You better ante up, yeah. Give us what we want. Well, Arthur Blank is no dummy, so he's a smart businessman. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. So but it would be sad if we lost the Falcons. I might have to move away.
Oh my gosh, it would be devastating.
I don't even really care about sports.
It would be
sports,
very
but still.
Odd. I've never lived in a city that didn't have a professional football team.
I know.
That would be weird.
It would be really weird.
It's like moving the big chicken to LA.
Yeah, you can't. There's certain things, right? It's like you can't. If Coke decided to pack up and move their headquarters, like what? No. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. And speaking of people packing and moving out of town, I'm wrapping up with my favorite story of the day, which is that the Atlanta police chief is seeking to get a law passed to kick convicted prostitutes out of town. This is like the wild, wild
Clean
west.
Up this city.
Don't you feel like it's the wild, wild west? He's got he's drawing both guns out, bang, bang. I don't know. I just, listen. do not want to be a prostitute. You know, I do not really want to hang out with the prostitutes. But kicking them out of town, like not banning them, it's so weird.
It's funny.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't there other criminals that we could ban?
The cops are storming the brothels.
It's just so funny because it's like, it's because like their own presence, like their body, their physical person is the product. And so like having them stand around on the corner looking all prostitute-y, I guess.
It's not the best thing.
But can we ban? Let's ban the drug dealers. I mean, let's ban the like the meth. I don't know if we're going to start banning people.
Right.
That would open the door for banning a lot of other.
It's so weird.
You know, illegal activities.
And then you feel like there's going to be like this ring, you know, if they're just banned from the city of Atlanta, like right at the border where they're just standing there, like with their noses pressed against the glass looking in.
Like how you go to South Carolina to buy fireworks.
Yeah, right. And right over the border is all the fireworks, right? So like over the border is going to be all the prostitutes just hanging out. So weird.
It's like the prohibition days.
Yeah. It's just so weird. I can't even begin to contemplate that. But I kind of love the old Wild West feel of it, you know? You're banned, you know?
We're old school down here in Atlanta.
And also, like, what are they going to have, like...
with your bad behavior.
They're going to have, like, the band van that's going to, like, pull up, load up the prostitutes, and drive them right over the border of the city and drop them off, you know? I just don't even get it.
Yeah, that's funny.
It will be really interesting to see if there's any...
We'll see what kind of luck George Turner has with getting the city council to approve that.
All right. Well, that is the news for today. No top 10 list. You know, it just is what it is. I'm sorry. And we have a latecomer into the studio right now. So joining us right now is Sasha. Hello, I'm guessing, right? Yes. Or it could be somebody completely else walking in. What do I know? Yeah. You know.
That's me.
All right. Welcome. You're in the hot seat now because you just walked in. So, pull that mic nice and close to you and you can grab a pair of headphones and we're good to go. So we just roll easily here at the studio. No pressure. So
yeah, I'm listening.
There you are. Okay. So Sasha, introduce yourself since I don't have your business card in front of me.
Yeah. My name is Sasha Grievsky. I'm a representative of Invest Macedonia, which is a government agency from Macedonia, and it's dealing with foreign direct investment attraction and trade promotion with United States. We are part of Macedonian Embassy in Washington, so I'm currently here in Atlanta to get to know the companies and to help them connect with Macedonian companies.
Now, you have to understand that we were very lighthearted on this show, so I have to tease you a little bit right now because A, Sasha was late, and B, when I asked him to introduce himself, he had to look at his own business card. He had to read his own name off the business card.
No, actually, I wanted to give it to you.
I'm just teasing.
Make sure that you know it is the right
the
one.
Right.
Ah, yes. We all have those multiple business cards, right? And other people's. I went to an event not too long ago, and this guy walked up and introduced himself to me, and he said, "I've met you before, Dana. You know, I want to give you my card. It's nice to see you." And he handed me his card, and I said, "Thanks," and I stuck it in my pocket, and he walked away. And I looked at it like 10 minutes later, and he gave me someone else's card. Like, he gave me a card of a doctor from Georgia State or something. I was like, this is not you, but okay.
You see, so.
Yeah, you do have to be careful. So, all right, I take it back,
we're all
Sasha.
Busy business people.
That's right.
Right. Meet a lot of folks out there.
So, so Macedonia, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so give us some background. I mean, I'm not all that familiar with the business climate of Macedonia, the industry. Give us some background on the commercial sectors. And
yeah, that's why I'm here. So Macedonia is a country which is in the Balkans. It was part of former Yugoslavia. And with such a position, you know, we had a very open trade and open economy for many years. But after getting independence in 1991, Macedonia has become a real market-oriented economy, and democracy was also installed in the country through multi-parliamentary system. Macedonia has 2.1 million inhabitants. It's a very small country, but it is very well positioned strategically from geographic also point of view. And it has everything that it needs to attract businesses from all over the world. And that's what we are doing.
Are there specific types of businesses, industries, that type of thing, where that want to be in Macedonia or that are already there?
Yes, the automotive part manufacturing sector is heavily coming into Macedonia in the past several years, and now we have an intensive talks with many companies from all around the world. And what is interesting, it's not only American companies or Western European country companies. We also have an Indian company, for example, coming from India to Macedonia, which is very indicative of the economic conditions and the incentives the government is offering to foreign investors.
It's also just sort of an interesting comment sort of on world business and the world economy and, you know, how things are changing. You know, I think we're very American-centric sometimes and we think everything is about us. And clearly that is not the case.
Well, we have several American companies from automotive industry like Johnson Controls. They have opened their office in Macedonia several years ago, but now they opened the second facility in Macedonia, which is a clear indication of what conditions are for doing business in Macedonia.
Yeah.
And just to mention, what are they? We have a flat rate of 10% for personal income tax, for corporate tax.
Oh, wow.
So it is a very low tax, the lowest among the lowest in Europe.
How do you feel about having radio personalities over there? Because that sounds pretty good. I could do that. I could do the show over there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we have a great talkers in Macedonia, so you're most welcome. You know?
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, wow, if we could get that going in here, we'd be a lot less arguing, I'm sure.
You'll have a lot of business from France moving to Macedonia because some people from France now are moving to Russia and other countries because France just raised the tax rates.
Oh, wow.
Dramatically to some mm-hmm. some instances to 55%, 60%.
Yeah,
so
sure,
some people
sure
actually
more
asking to get another citizenship from a different country because of the tax.
Wow.
More and more, you're seeing people do that, making those moves.
Yeah, you know, the great French actor, Gérard Depardieu.
Uh-huh. He just
moved
right
out, and then there are some others who announced that they're going to leave France because of that.
But 10%.
Even
the
former president. So that was in the lines. I'm not sure if it is confirmed, but, you know. It's,
well, that's a crazy percent. I mean, that's like
it's crossing
outrageous
everyone's mind yeah these days. I heard that Tina Turner gave up her U.S. passport.
Seriously?
I've heard just, yeah, rumors about that, too. Is it true?
And where is
we only talk about unconfirmed news here on Good Morning Atlanta.
That's right. We don't know.
This is the rumor mill.
Totally.
No official.
We just keep it going. So wait, where is she supposedly living? Okay, somewhere not here. And no passport.
But
interesting.
Is 10% a real rumor? Or?
Is 10% true?
Right.
Well,
so
that's the real thing.
Back to the facts.
Wow.
The 10% tax rate is the fact.
Absolutely.
How is that possible?
Well, when this government took the office 6 years ago, they were committed to enforce the strict financial rules and combining with a very sound banking system that we have through all these years, even in the time of the crisis. You know, it happened to be that Macedonia is, according to Forbes, the fifth most tax-friendly country in the world.
Wow.
And not only, you know, this 10% and all the government efforts that they wish to do and wish to, you know, make an opportunities for the company. It is, as I said, not only a visual list of you know, things to be done, but it is a reality which is confirmed by independent source, World Bank, doing business report has ranked Macedonia as the third best reformer in the world in past three consecutive years, and Macedonia is the best country for doing business in the Southeast Eastern Europe. So these are independent sources which are also confirming all the government efforts.
Now, I have to backtrack a little bit. What is the geographically and what is the area like in terms of living conditions? Like, is it nice there? Because I might want to retire there.
How's the weather?
It's what I want to know, really. And like, is there good shopping? You know.
You know, you have. You know, that is the beauty. That is the beauty of Macedonia. You have everything, and it is within 150 miles. So it is. You know, it's not a big country, but you have everything. You know, from the let's say natural views and points. You have lakes, beautiful lakes. I will tell you more about Lake Ohrid later on. But you also have mountains. So in 2 hours drive, you'll be able, you know, to get skiing and then go, you know, for a nice walk along the beautiful Ohrid Lake, which is, by the way, one of the oldest and most beautiful lakes in the world. And Ohrid City is a UNESCO protected city. And what is interesting is it has the longest history in the world of continuous living, like more than 7,000 years. Like, you might find other cities in the world, in India or some other places that, you know, there are artifacts of and proof of living, but not a continuous living for right. more than of 7,000
wow.
years.
Sounds really awesome. Now, is there a That's tourist great. Trade at all? Do people go check it out over there?
Absolutely, or? Yeah. Some of our competencies that are given by the government to us, to the people from the economic diplomacy, we are going to be 27 all around the world, and we are promoting tourism as well. So, absolutely.
Well, I can come check it out and report back, just saying.
You're most welcome.
I don't know. I'm all about me this morning. Is that unusual? No, I don't think it is.
So if I was going to go over there and start a business, I mean, is that possible? Can someone from another country, another citizenship, start a business? Does it have to be partially owned by someone from Macedonia?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only that it is possible, but you're going to do that within 24 to 48 hours. And that is also one engagement of the government in this private sector. They introduced this, and they called it administrative guillotine, and they actually cut all the necessary, unnecessary
all
steps.
Red tape.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, you know,
it's like a fast track,
come
easy process.
And your business will be open, you know, between 24 and 48 hours.
Wow.
That's very business.
Elizabeth,
friendly.
When are we getting our tickets? Let's count.
Actually, I brought some because I knew
wow.
you.
This is the best show ever.
I love it. I mean, very interesting. It's an area that I know nothing about. So it's really fascinating. I already can tell there's like a list of people in the back of my head that I need to go talk to. They're like, have you checked out Macedonia? Because really.
Yeah. Talking about the tourism, you know, Macedonia is one of the most interesting from the archaeological point of view. We have more than 4,200 of excavation sites, archaeological sites, and you know, there are beautiful old ancient towns which are excavated, and people are going there and you know, witnessing the history. And this is the maybe most beautiful thing about visiting Macedonia. You would have a feeling that you're traveling through the time, and in the same time you're in the presence with all the modern amenities of the modern living.
Right.
Shopping you mentioned.
And, very important.
And nightlife, you know, the restaurants and way of living in Macedonia is outstanding. I mean, you know, you would be really, really satisfied and interested by coming there. So going back to the tourism and archaeological sites, so it is a historical heritage of the world which is not known so far. And as I said, behind these archaeological findings, there are almost 1,000 churches which were wow. built in 10 centuries and you know, over, during the medieval. And In some of these churches, actually, the most richest gathering of frescoes,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
in the churches.
Sure.
Is in Macedonia, so this is, you know, something which has a value that is you know, precious, and all these you know, people who were painting these frescoes in the churches
right.
From 10 centuries and during this day, you know, they were actually blessed and with the devotion to the God, and you could feel that.
Wow.
So all of this is, you know, a mixed picture, tasting wonderful foods I haven't mentioned so far, but this is, you know, Macedonia is famous in the region by its agricultural products and outstanding wine. So a lot of reasons to come to Macedonia.
So now when you're in the course of your job, you're looking to encourage businesses to go there. You're trying to bring business here. Like, explain what your personal mission is.
Yeah, the first mission is that we want to connect businesses that are expanding in Europe. And we would like to try to help these American companies that have probably offices elsewhere in Europe, but on the must higher cost environment, to reallocate their businesses in Macedonia,
right,
and to start doing it out of Macedonia and to sell to Europe. So in this way, they are not actually quitting and abandoning the European market that they have been building for many, many years. You know, as the
just
case, I mean,
finding
maybe
a lower cost place to do business.
Yeah, exactly. So if they reallocate in Macedonia, they will find not only low taxes, but the labor cost is very low. And in the same time, it is very educated, you know, the labor force. In our school system, for example, it's getting 6% of GDP. Government is dedicating for education, which is much higher rate than many Western European countries and even higher than the United States. People are speaking English, you know, they start learning in the first grade in the schools. So two languages are mandatory in the high school and in the primary school. And like 98% of the students are learning English in the schools. So combine all of this, I think we are offering quite an interesting opportunity for foreign companies to reallocate in Macedonia and to trade, then to sell in other European countries, which is very convenient because of the free trade agreements that Macedonia has with the European Union. So we have free trade agreements with European Union, with other European countries which are not members of European Union, and with all Balkan countries, obviously. These are multilateral agreements, and we have bilateral agreements with Turkey and with Ukraine, and that makes a market of more than 650 million people, which is twice of the United States.
Wow. It seems like it would be a pretty easy sell. When you're meeting with, I mean, really, I don't mean to be like, obviously, it's nobody's going to pick up.
You want to take over his job?
Well, you know, I just mean, in the sense that it sounds like a really good offer.
Yeah.
He has tickets, too.
Yeah, I know. He's got tickets in his pocket. Don't let him leave. Close the studio door. No, but I mean, it sounds like, you know, when you're getting in front of some of these larger companies, they must be sort of like, well, why aren't we doing this? I mean, are you getting a lot of objections?
No,
this is
our task. You know, the companies and businesses in the United States are not very familiar with this situation.
Right.
And that's what we're trying
education.
To do. And I think we're doing a right job. And actually, not only that 27 person who are dedicated to this job all over the world is doing this, but the government themselves and Prime Minister is doing the same thing. We had Prime Minister coming in Atlanta on 5th of September last year, and also we have the same events in Miami and in Tampa. And then by the end of the year, again, they came and we had events in Houston and in L.A. and then in Seattle and in Detroit. So they are very active. They are very active. And one thing that the businesses are not going to find, I think, anywhere is that such a committed government to the success of the private sector and to businesses. So they are doing everything that private sector is suggesting that is good for the business.
Well, before we move over to Mohammed and let he's been so patient and find out what he's doing, how do people learn more about Macedonia and how do they get in touch with you if they want to start working with you?
Well, There is a web page on Invest Macedonia, and it's www.investinmacedonia.com.
Okay.
And you will find all the offices there and representatives of Invest Macedonia, and also on the embassy page. And
of course, they can meet you at World Trade Center events. And, you know, so the cool thing is, if you're a business here in Atlanta and you want to, you're interested, you can actually sit down with them and talk to them here, like face to face, and kind of share what it's all about.
Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to do. It's what we've been talking now in the last 10, 15 minutes. It's just a general picture, but we are getting into more details with the companies who are interested. And then we are explaining all other things that are necessary for them to bring a decision. You know, Invest Macedonia is an agency that it's not only helping in the introductory phase of the companies, but we are following the companies all the way through the decision-making process. And after that also, you know, aftercare part is very important, and many of these companies are, for example, Chemet Electronics, it's another American company that opened their business in Macedonia. They just started last year. And what is interesting with all these big companies, automotive companies, they are located in the free technology, actually it is called the Technological Industrial Development Zones. And it has 0% taxes on everything and no duties. So starting a business there, it's just, you know, very easy, because you just need to build a building and plug in, because all utilities are there. And it's really, really very easy. So Chemet Electronics, in one the president of the company in one occasion said that when the CEO of Invest Macedonia said, okay, we've done everything now, and you're here, you've built your factory, and then you can start doing business, and you don't need us anymore. He said, no, on the contrary, we're just starting to cooperate with you. So, you know, also in the production phase, when they start with doing business, we are there to help companies who came in Macedonia.
Nice. Well, very interesting. I'm so glad that you were here, because I got to learn something I knew nothing about. I love that.
Yeah, me too. Thank you very much for the invitation, and thank you for this introduction to Lilia Postolaki. I have to mention her, because she helped a lot in organizing this event. We actually, when the Prime Minister was here and other ministers from the government, we had this event in World Trade Center.
Yep.
And Lilia was really, really a big helping hand.
Yes. We love Lilia. We're sorry she didn't make it over here this morning, because we love having her on.
Amen.
Yeah. Mohammed, let's talk about you. You've been here in Atlanta for about 18 years, you said, before we got on the air. And tell me a little bit about what you do.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having us, Dana, and I'm glad to meet with all of you. And I'm very impressed about the previous presentation for Sasha, because a lot of people don't know about Macedonia, but it's a great country and it's a very old country. I've studied about Macedonia since I was a child in Egypt, so I know a little bit about it. But today it was really very encouraging to hear all the reforms and the great things that are happening there.
So impressive.
Thank you. Thank you for educating us.
Yeah.
And definitely will be sending business your way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Again, I'm Mohammed El Sawa. I'm a small business consultant. I'm a banker by trade. I've worked with a major bank in Atlanta for 8 years. I've been in Atlanta for 18 years. And I've helped small businesses to grow. And a couple of years ago, I formed a partnership with Legal Shield. It's a 40-year-old company that has grown tremendously. And I've helped with marketing their products to small businesses. We have almost 55,000 businesses that are regular subscribers to the company, as well as 1.4 to 1.7 million individual clients. The product that we market is for less than $20 a month. An individual can actually have a legal plan that protects them, just in case if anything happened, they need to speak to an attorney. They can speak to an attorney right away. If they can have their last will and testament prepared at no cost for the members. A lot of great other benefits, but Legal Shield and Go Small Biz has partnered together for years now, and Go Small Biz is owned owned by Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, okay.
The Hall of Fame from Minnesota Vikings.
That's kind of fun.
And it's very close to here. It's on Peachtree and by Linux as well.
Why didn't you bring him with you?
I couldn't.
Next time. you'll come back, you'll bring Fran.
Yeah. but it's great. We're learning a lot from Fran and the leadership from the company and all that. And we're growing a lot of business here in Atlanta, all over the United States. We're authorized to sell it all over the United States and four provinces in Canada. Partnership with the World Trade Center as well, and thanks to Lelia Pustaleschi, she's the one that invited me to the show, and really kudos to the World Trade Center for bringing businesses together and bringing the more businesses to Atlanta, Metro Atlanta area. I know that they are in 92 countries, but with more than 303 branches in 92 countries, one of them actually in Egypt. That's where I'm from.
Right.
But that's basically what I do. I add value to the business. I help businesses grow. My forte is in sales.
So helping the companies develop their sales teams,
their sales strategies, their full cycle sales, including inside sales, outside sales. Building the sales cycle from A to Z, and then following up with it to make sure that the customer is really getting more than just selling. Most of the sales are geared by the after sale. We talked about Apple earlier.
Yeah.
Really, the sale is what's after sale. To me, the sales is not when you sell me something. It's what's going to happen after I'm sold.
Right.
After I dipped into my purse and paid what's...
Then what?
What's being provided, then what?
Well, that's even what, like when Sasha was talking about, not sort of abandoning a company once they're there and established. It's like you're sticking with them. They're your customer.
Absolutely. That is the right approach. You're actually offering the businesses projects that are good for them.
Right.
And if you don't believe in this, you're not doing it.
Right.
Absolutely.
So what do you find is the number one mistake that small companies make as it relates to sales?
One, not having a coach or a consultant. I think Elizabeth is a fantastic coach for businesses and all that. And I'm not just saying a plug for her. Elizabeth is a wonderful lady that knows how to do her business. But having a coach is very essential. I've read a few books from Michael Jordan, and he said in one of his books that he always had a coach.
Yeah.
And if you ask any successful person, have you had a coach? Have you listened to someone else other than yourself? Are you trying to do everything? So I think the most fatal mistake for any small business is to try to do everything under the sun, and you get distracted from what you're best at.
Yeah.
But if you try to concentrate on what you're best at, give some people some of the business to grow you,
yeah,
and to grow your ability. This is where you're able to foster the changes and help with the changes. The second biggest error that business small businesses may have is the development. Businesses is an evolving process. It doesn't stop. Yes, if you have the good recipe, that's great. But you may need to change the color of the label. You may need to change the branding.
Technology evolves. I mean, Elizabeth and I were talking about this not too long ago. We were making the example of companies that sort of get stuck in whatever it is they're doing and they don't pay attention to the market. And then, you turn into Blockbuster and you lose all your business to Netflix because you didn't stay current. You didn't pay attention to what the consumers wanted and what was happening in the marketplace, and you thought you had it done, and no.
Absolutely. Listening is probably the best advice I can give for any business or business owners, because our clients change. Their life changes around them.
Right.
Situation changes. If we're able to interact with them and learn from our mistakes with them, that's the best gift, because they can communicate with us and let us know where is our shortcomings and where we can correct it and where they benefited from us. And listening, I think, is probably the best quality in business or personal life too.
That's true. I think people should listen more, maybe myself included. No, that's true. And so do you work mostly with businesses that are sort of a certain size and trying to grow to the next size, or who's your sort of target customer?
My target customers are businesses between 50 to 100. If I'm selling the Legal Shield product itself, we have array of clients that can range between, we have even 2,000 employees companies and 3,000 employees companies that they are member, they have it as an employee benefit.
Okay.
And so for the Legal Shield part, that, you know, the target client can be really a large employer or small or medium, but for my small business itself, is a business is around 50 to 100 employees.
Gotcha.
What are some of the challenges that companies of that size seem to face, Mohammed?
Number one challenge that I found is keeping good database for clients and clients' interactions. Companies that are really successful, they have a lot of touch points with their clients. They know how they feel. They send surveys. I had an issue with my tooth last week. This is not a complaint.
No, feel free.
But I had an issue with my tooth last week, and I went to my great dentist. And first of all, when my tooth was broken, he accepted my appointment. He called me from his cell phone, accepted my appointment within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He told me that he's driving to his office and I can come in.
Wow, yeah.
On a Saturday.
Yeah.
And met with me on a Monday. They had the x-ray. They have everything done. After I left, I went back to my office, and I have a survey email.
Wow.
For how I felt about my visit.
Wow.
Yeah. So imagine if you're followed up with and you have that loyalty, I'll always go back to him.
Yeah.
Because he accepted me. So sometimes, having touch points with the clients and seeing how they feel is so important, because the reality may be totally different than the perception.
Yeah.
But if somebody perceived us that we've done something that's right or wrong, the reality is 100% right because it's the reality.
Yeah.
And you have to respect it. So probably the most areas that I think the struggle is if they have touch points with their clients to know exactly what happened, to correct errors, to move forward. And that helps too with the development. A lot of businesses are not doing development. They think that if I succeeded, I'm it. That doesn't happen. Life is work. It's like an ongoing work. And if I didn't work on it, I may lose the business. They may go to the next door neighbor that will do a better job than myself. So I think that's probably part of the struggle. The second struggle that I see for the last couple of years, I think this is. A continuous struggle, but it has improved during the last couple of months, is the financial struggles. A lot of businesses are not getting as many clients to spend. Clients are very afraid to spend their saved money because of the economics and all that, but it's improving because
a lot of... So is that a cash flow problem or an access to financing issue?
Both. Banks are very shying away now of giving loans and strengthening their credit worthiness and offering loans. So that is not helping as much. The other thing is if there's no development, you can't justify the increase of cost. Your cost is increasing, but you can't justify it because you're not providing an extra value. We were talking earlier about why would the customer pay $900 for a computer? Well, for 128 gigabyte, as a businessman, I can store all my information instead of getting another extra hard drive or an iCloud product. I can store. So if you can't justify the value, the price has no barrier. So both of them, Elizabeth, cash flow and bank's ability to loan has put some businesses in an interesting situation where they really are struggling a little bit. But I see improvement. I really do. There's a lot of real estate development licenses has been issued recently, and that's a very good sign for the economy because this means that there is more buildings.
Yeah.
And it's not artificial. Because we learned from the artificial ages where prices were inflated. So there are good signs and there is hope there.
And before we run out of time with you, let's give your contact information as well. So if people are interested in the services that you have at GoSmallBiz.com, they can get in touch with you. So obviously, I would assume that's the website, yes? GoSmallBiz.com?
Yes. Yes. My website is www.cobbusinesssolutions.com.
Okay.
And my phone number is 404-510-3543.
Excellent. Elizabeth? Thoughts about the post-sale customer service scenario, the Genius Bar, etc. Thoughts?
It's crucial. I mean, absolutely, to build the overall sustainability of your company, and I think that's what business owners today are looking for—something that they can build for the long haul. So.
And to the group, I say this: don't you think there's a little bit of a fine line? Because I don't know about you guys, but you want to have those touch points with your client. Up to a certain point, like you don't want to be annoying and all over them. I can't stand when I, sort of inadvertently sign up for an email newsletter or something and think, you know, well, sure, whatever, I'll take this one. And the next thing you know, my inbox is bombarded with multiple emails a day, or, you know, every other day I'm getting something from a company that I'm sort of only marginally interested in. And then.
Yes, you do have to be careful not to over communicate and be too much.
Right.
In customers' faces, because as much as you appreciate companies you do business with keeping in touch with you, you also don't want them to cross over the intrusive line,
right,
where you're like, okay, now you're annoying me, I'm not giving you any more of my money.
Right. It's really interesting because, you know, in the old days, let's date ourselves, shall we? In the old days, you know, it was the phone calls, you know, when you were at dinner and your phone would constantly be ringing with
right.
people trying to sell you something. And a lot of times it was even nonprofits. And, you know, after a while, I'm like, enough with the Veterans Association. I feel for you, but I don't want to buy a flag. You know,
right.
like, enough. I don't need any trash bags. You're killing me. And now we got rid of that, you know, because now a lot of people, like myself included, only have a cell phone and you just turn it off when you don't want to take calls. Great. And they can't, you have that no call list and all that stuff. But now it's in your inbox. It's in your email box. And it's just can really be annoying. So there's a fine line, I think.
Right. Well, and that's what good marketing, I think, navigates, is what is that fine line.
Right.
So it's important to make sure that you're doing it right. Your customers will tell you pretty quickly if you're starting to tick them off, though.
Right. Right. It's interesting because
you don't want to, like, not look at your numbers for too long, because, I mean, that's why measuring and the ability to do email marketing and web-based marketing is so great, because for a marketer, it allows you to get instant measurement of your effectiveness. I mean, you, like, what's the open rate on this headline in an email?
Right.
And you can know immediately, is this good? And testing, I mean, we test everything before we roll it out to our full customer base.
Right.
We do a small target group test and see, does this work? Did it create the desired response?
So I think, you know, it sounds like we all have a little bit of experience in that kind of sales and marketing world. And one of the downsides, again, is that sometimes the test is, how many unsubscribes did I get after I sent this email? And if it was a lot, you blew it. Like, too
right.
late. You can't get those people back yeah. because now they've all hit unsubscribe.
Sorry about
that's right.
So,
and some of them even won't give you the courtesy of unsubscribing. So they will continue to read your emails and all that without the unsubscribe. But you're right.
They'll report you as spam. And they'll just, you know, then you're in even bigger trouble.
Yeah,
so
it's a fine line.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And, you know, I hate to always go to Apple because they're such a good discussion place. But they do it right. I mean, I have to say, you know, there again, like, I do get emails from them, but I never get so many that I'm annoyed. I get them periodically. They're not outrageous. They usually have something they actually want to tell me that's new. You know, hey, I've got a new product coming out, or hey, there's a new service or whatever. It's not just nonsense, you know. So
right, they seem to be more content driven than calendar driven.
Yeah,
like, every Monday I've got to send you an email, so we'll just make something up.
I want to shoot those people. No offense to anyone in particular, but
that's why I got the umbrella.
Little defense over there. And we cross a lot of lines in the studio on a regular basis, so clearly we're not the best at following the rules, but that's okay. Live and learn. So
entrepreneurial.
That's right.
Paving new roads.
That's right, every day. Of course, I want to, as always, as we wrap up, I want to thank our guests, Sasha and Mohammed, for being here today on this rainy, kind of gross day. But thank you, guys. We really appreciate it. And also thanks to Lilia and the World Trade Center for bringing you to us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
And Elizabeth, I think that about wraps it up now.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks to our sponsor, World Trade Center Atlanta, which you can find out more about by visiting WTCAtlanta.com. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And of course, I'm Dana Barrett. And you've been listening to Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. And be sure to stay tuned for more wonderful programming coming up next right here on Business Radio X.